Welcome to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. Let's get today's show started with your host and founder of the BD Academy, Rob Brown.
Welcome to the show, and I'm thrilled to have today an old friend and accounting futurist. It's Mark Lee. Hello to you, Mark.
Good morning, Rob.
Mark, great to have you on the show. And just for those people that may not have come across you, just tell us a bit about your background and your expertise.
I qualified as chartered accountant a long time ago, partner in a couple of large firms, became a tax consultant, and then in 2006 decided I'd focus on doing those things I really enjoyed, speaking, writing, and mentoring.
What kind of shape do you feel the accounting profession is in right now?
I find that a really difficult question to answer because I don't see the accounting profession as one group. The state that the big firms are in is very different to the larger firms, and that's very different to the smaller firms as well. We could say that at the smaller end, there's a degree of confusion, a degree of excitement, depending upon how long you see the future for your own practice. For the larger firms, there's a degree of nervousness. To what extent do they need to introduce new systems and processes to ensure that they can compete effectively? And at the top end, there's the extent to which they're going to have more competition from the larger firms that try and compete for that top end work. So I think the answer is different depending upon which bit of the profession you're talking to.
Yeah, it's a really good distinction. And then we've got the ecosystem outside that, I suppose, that serves the accounting profession. And we might ask what kind of shape they're in. Do you have a view on that?
Yes, I think there's a degree of confusion there as well, because quite often I hear people talking about the profession when they actually mean small firms or even sole practitioners, or sometimes when they mean large firms. And you need to dig in and find out where is their experience, where is their focus, before you can engage seriously and have an intelligent conversation that will make sense by reference to the audience that you're talking to.
Sure. And in your view, what makes a good accounting firm great of any size?
Nice qualification. I think what makes a good accounting firm great, if they're a big firm, is that they engage the people at all levels, recognize that what younger people want now is possibly different to what people of baby boomers wanted in terms of longevity in the profession, seniority in the profession, control and responsibility is distinct from wanting to spend time with family and friends. But it really always comes back down to the people in the larger firms, giving them responsibility at an early stage and ensuring that they're well trained to deliver services beyond having technical knowledge and understanding. And at the smaller end, it's the same. What makes a good small accounting firm great is recognizing that really giving good service to clients is about far more than just knowing the technical answers. It's about being able to understand their needs, wants, and desires and helping them to achieve their hopes, dreams, and plans.
Now, we're in a curious age, aren't we? You've been in this game a while, and you must never have seen the amount of disruption and change that we have going on right now.
It's true. I remember when self-assessment system was introduced just over 20 years ago, we thought that would herald major changes to the profession. It did to an extent. What we're seeing now, what we've seen over the last few years, is an ever-growing speed of change, and yet it hasn't fundamentally affected the service that clients want from their accountants. Some accountants are evolving their services in order to provide a wider range of services, in order to focus away from compliance services. But unlike many other people projecting into the future, I think it's going to be 5 to 10 years from now before the day-to-day work of accountants in the main changes enormously. It's evolving, but it's a slow evolution, not a revolution.
Yeah, which is troubling in a way, because the technology is advancing at an exponential rate, but the accountants, the people involved, are progressing at a linear rate.
Well, I think that's partly because they're client-driven. Until clients start demanding a wider range of services, accountants aren't going to evolve in the same way that other suppliers might, because clients come back year after year. The client doesn't actually care how the accountant does the work. They don't care how quickly or slowly the accountant does it, as long as they do it in good time for the filing deadlines.
Yeah. You've
got to remember that the fundamental reason most people go to an accountant is because they've got a legal obligation to file tax returns and accounts. They don't feel able to or don't trust themselves to do it themselves. So they choose an accountant to help them with it. All the other services that an accountant can provide is not a function of a legal obligation. So accountants need to create the trust and help the clients recognize the accountant can deliver more than a compliance service. Mm. But clients aren't out there shouting and screaming for it. And that's the reason why it's evolution rather than revolution.
Yeah, good point. And you're a qualified accountant yourself. How much have you seen the role change over the years?
Well, I look back over my career and I did rather well. I ended up as chairman of the tax faculty at the Institute of Chartered Accountants. I was headhunted twice to be a partner in large firms and tax consultancies. And yet, none of that was because of my technical skills. I did well in the profession because I had evolved and developed good communication skills that meant I could communicate complex concepts to clients and colleagues more effectively than many more technically minded people could. And that communication skill I see as becoming more and more important for all accountants in the future, because the robotic process automation, the artificial intelligence, will be able to do more and more of the technical stuff. We will need to be able to interpret it and to communicate it more effectively to clients than perhaps we did before.
What do you feel are some of the challenges that firms are facing at the moment?
The biggest challenge that firms of all sizes tell me they're facing is trying to recruit good people. And I've heard it said a number of times, you need to recruit personality, you need to recruit attitude, rather than looking for a great CV, because you can train the technical stuff into people if they've got the right attitude and if they've got the right personality for the future. I think one of the challenges for large firms is they want more people to do the technical stuff. Those technically minded people are staying where they are, but they don't have a long-term future unless they develop the attitude and personality they require for the future. And therefore, what the firms need to do is to ensure that they're focused more on training key business skills rather than only technical skills. And it's one of the reasons why I stress that we should refer to them as key business skills rather than soft skills, which implies they're easy and fluffy rather than hard. And they're bloody difficult to develop, and you don't develop them when you're taking your exams.
It's a really good point. Things like those business skills you're referring to, they're quite nuanced and complex because they involve humans. It's not like flicking a light switch on and off, is it? So I guess they've always been important.
They have, but they're becoming more important because as the computers are able to do more and more of the detailed work in the background. I remember staff working for me, spending hours on 16-column spreadsheets, changing the numbers for partnership tax computations. Mm. That's done in seconds now by spreadsheets, let alone AI and robotic process automation. The speed of change is only going to get faster.
So what are some of the mistakes that firms make when training their staff and their partners?
I think one of the biggest mistakes that's made is focusing only on the technical side of things. And historically, there was this idea that you learned from your colleagues and that practice makes perfect. Practice doesn't make perfect. Practice makes permanent. If you're a bad driver and you keep practicing without any coaching or mentoring, you'll remain a bad driver. You'll just be a faster one. Mm. So I think it's really important for firms to recognize the value of mentoring, whether that's more experienced partners or external mentors and coaches. And I only mentor sole practitioners because I know how difficult it is to get a firm to make a decision to invest in somebody from outside coming in. So I just don't go there.
It's a very good point. The business development training that we do, we've traditionally gone in and done it face-to-face with workshops, but we realize that whilst it gets great evaluation scores, it doesn't often move the dial behaviorally, and they need that ongoing coaching because it's complex. They're going to hit a wall. They're going to get stuck. And if there's no one to turn to there, then these skills just fall by the wayside.
That's absolutely right. So when I'm speaking at large firms events or international associations, when they ask me afterwards, can I do something? I refer them to somebody like you or some of the other people out there who are specialists in particular skills that need to be developed over a period of time. Mm. You don't change people just by having a great keynote on stage.
When you look at accountants as a species, how coachable and teachable do you feel they are?
Well, again, I'd see that as a challenging question. Some accountants are more coachable and teachable than others. we know that people will only change if they perceive a need to change. So I think some of the best mentoring I had was early on in my career at BDO, when it was a question of, well, you're not doing as well as you might. There's maybe some areas that you could develop. And I felt that my role was at risk. If I didn't buy into that external mentoring, my career might not continue in the way that it subsequently did. Mm. Fear of losing your job can be a great motivator. Equally, being told that unless you have this broad range of key business skills, you can't expect to progress further, whether here or elsewhere.
Yeah.
That argument that some larger firms take, or senior partners, market managing partners take, when they say, what if we train our people and they leave? To which the response is, yeah. What if you don't train them and they stay?
Yeah, quite right. Now, in the role you have as an accounting futurist, just define futurist for us, because some people might think it's quite short term and other people long term, and how complex that is.
Well, I tend to identify what's coming over the horizon, and I break it down to three time frames.
Right.
What's going to happen in the next 12 to 18 months, which frankly is quite limited. It's more about preparing for the longer term future. Then what's going to happen 18 months to sort of 3-4 years. And then the third time frame is 4-5 years up to 10 years. And beyond 10 years, it's just wild speculation. Mm. And a lot of what we're told is going to happen and is going to change the accounting profession actually takes years to have a real impact. So what I do when I'm speaking about the future or blogging about it, as I do quite frequently, is to try and help accountants recognize there are big changes coming. It's important that they prepare for them, but equally, they shouldn't expect things to change overnight within the next 12 to 18 months. We know they're going to continue to be driven by what their clients want, but what will happen is that within the next 3 to 5 years, more and more accountants will find that they are competing with external consultants, with management consultants, with business mentors and coaches, and with better trained accountants to deliver the business advisory skills and financial advisory skills that accountants are putting off the development of until their clients start asking for it. And I don't want accountants to leave it too late so that they're struggling to compete with those third parties who are better trained and have been doing it for longer than them.
Yeah. Specifically, what changes do you see coming up that will affect the way accountants work with their clients?
Well, I think as we see more adverts from cloud accounting software providers, more and more prospective clients, future clients, those starting in businesses, are going to believe that they don't need an accountant at first. They can do the bookkeeping almost by magic. Mm. Now, what accountants are telling me is that when people do that, they mess things up and they need an accountant later. So despite what the software promises at the moment, you do need an accountant to set things up properly. Otherwise, you're going to need more help down the line. But within a few years, the AI built into the software will make it easier for people to start up by themselves. And they will then resist paying what accountants currently charge their clients for compliance work. So it's not so much that accountants are going to lose loads of existing clients, but that as their clients retire, die, or sell up, and they look to replace them, the people they're looking to replace them with will have different ideas as to what an accountant will provide for them. And in terms of compliance work, they won't be prepared to pay the same fees that current clients are paying, because those new businesses will perceive the work as being somewhat easier and simpler, and indeed will need less support and help from their accountant to do that work. So answering your question, the challenge will be if accountants are not ready to offer a wider range of services that they can charge decent fees for, then they're going to need to take on far more clients to replace each one that they lose, which means they're going to need better skills at pitching and pricing those services in order to win those clients as compared with other accountants better trained to do that.
Yeah. There's a lot of disruption going on in the marketplace at the moment. And by that, I mean the accounting profession, buying and selling firms, M&A activity. What do you see coming up in the next few years in terms of how this accounting landscape will look?
It's going to be very interesting to see how the more recent acquisitions play out. 10 plus years ago, there were a number of consolidations, none of which ended well. I have yet to meet anybody outside of the recent acquisitions who believes that the current ones will end well.
Right. Why is that?
It's partly from the financial perspective. Who is going to pay for the accountant who's currently earning a good partnership partnership share, if that switches to a salary, you automatically add on 13.8% employer's national insurance contributions. Somebody has to pay for that. You could cover it all by efficiencies, but then on top of that, you want to generate a return for the investors. And then you want to ensure that the capital value of the business increases. Maybe that's continually done through more and more acquisitions, but somewhere at some time, those partners who are selling out will be looking to get a return that is above what they might otherwise had. So a lot of those acquisitions, and I think Nilesh mentioned this when you interviewed him, Nilesh Shah, the CEO of Blick Rothenberg, that they're picking up a number of firms where the partners don't see a long-term future. They're smaller practices, there's two or three partners, they haven't yet got succession plans in place. The best way to achieve some form of payment when they exit is to sell. Now, that's a great way to expand, to buy up those exiting businesses. We need to have the cash to do it. And maybe that will be available from the market and from venture capitalists. But I think a lot of larger firms will wait and see rather than there being the tsunami of change.
Is there any aspect of the accounting sector that hasn't moved ahead as fast as you thought it might do?
Not as fast as I might have expected. I have more limited expectations. I remember over 10 years ago, there were people saying that cloud accounting was going to change the profession. Anybody who didn't move their practice into the cloud and start advising clients on pushing other clients into the cloud, that their businesses would fail and they would die. This was in 2009. I said they were wrong then. I see that we are at a tipping point now, but it doesn't surprise me that firms haven't evolved as quickly as some other people expected. Those who expect fast change are often misconceived and perhaps don't understand how slow the profession evolves, because it evolves by reference to what clients are demanding, not by what suppliers think accountants should be doing or think clients should be demanding.
So if clients are demanding more, firms obviously need to be more agile and more adaptive, but they're not. Is that a culture thing? Is it a complacency thing? What's not happening?
It comes down to client demand and fees. And if fees aren't dropping, and if partners' profit shares aren't dropping, there's limited appetite to change, because change is risky.
Right.
And accountants, by dint of training and experience, are anti-risk. Now, that's a bit bizarre, really, because if you set up your own practice, you've got to be a bit entrepreneurial. So there is that balance, but still, you're only going to make big changes either if you have wild aspirations, or if you see your profits dropping, or you're struggling to achieve what you really wanted in the practice. And that tends to affect the minority, not the majority.
So who's in a better shape to change? Is it the small practitioners that are agile and they can pivot quickly, or is it large firms that have the resources to change?
I think it's probably the smaller firms, because the idea that the larger firms have the resources to change can sometimes be a misnomer. But let's assume 30,000 firms of accountants in the profession. How many are in the top 50 or the top 100? Oh, 50, 100. Mm. The vast majority are not larger firms.
Yeah. And is there anything you believe very deeply that other people think is crazy? Because as a futurist, you're kind of a pioneer, aren't you? You're making statements and you're predicting the future. And there must be a lot you see that other people think is just mad.
Well, I think probably my recognition as to how slow the change will be and the evolution will be is perhaps perceived as mad. And I love it. If I follow on talking after a futurist, a generic futurist has been speaking, and then I bring it back down to reality, that futurist says to me afterwards, why weren't you enthusing them about the impact of the changes and the robots are going to come in and the people are going to be doing this, that and the other? And I say, because you've already spoken about that generically. When we look at what's actually going to happen over the next few years, it won't be like that.
What can the larger firms learn from the smaller firms? I mean, if I put you in charge of a top 100 firm right now, what would you change?
I would do something that some of the big four firms are doing. And again, Nilesh Shah, Blick Rothenberg mentioned it. It's having a young team, millennials, Generation Z, working alongside the management team to look to the future, to recognize the impact of changes, because we know that within a few years, the vast majority of employees will be millennials. And similarly, new clients will be millennials. So old style thinking won't appeal to them. We won't be able to relate to them in the same way unless we get input from younger people, millennials, who are able to ensure that we are better able to relate to people of that age group. Because of the technological changes that are impacting the different generations, that is more important than it has ever been.
We hear a lot about niching and sector-specific expertise and specialising in certain areas. Is there a future for the generalist accountant, Mark?
There's a short-term future for the generalist accountant. But I spend a lot of my time helping clients to appreciate, to help the client who are accountants, to appreciate they're going to win more work the more clearly they're able to articulate who would be an ideal client for them. Mm. And if you say anyone who's running a business of any size anywhere, that's very difficult for anyone to find appealing or attractive. And it's very difficult, as you know, to generate referrals and recommendations in respect of anyone, any place, any time. The martini referral, it doesn't happen as effectively as if you're quite specific. And you can be specific in a number of ways, but the more focused you can be when you're asking for referrals and recommendations, when you're talking about what you do and the clients you help and how valuable they find your advice and why they enjoy working with you, the more likely you are to secure more of those good clients willing to pay you the fees that you want to earn. Mm. Far better than the martini clients.
Yeah. This is great, Mark. If people want to find out more about you and the stuff you talk about and how you help accountants, what's the best way for them to reach you?
Well, that's great. On LinkedIn, I'm Bookmark Lee. My website is bookmarklee.co.uk. Bookmark Lee on Twitter. My name, Mark Lee, is so common that I go everywhere as Bookmark Lee in the hope that people will.
That's great. And let's finish with the question that I must ask you, crystal ball time. Just give us an overview of what's coming up over the next 2 or 3 years for the accounting profession.
There's going to be more and more pressure to develop key business skills, to recognise their key business skills. I noticed the International Accounting Educational Standards Board is talking about technology and scepticism skills. The Institute of Chartered Accountants has an enormous range of skills that are developed as part of the training. But over the next few years, I think we're going to see far more pressure and emphasis on understanding and building key business skills that will help accountants to go forward and be the real key business advisors of the future.
Mm. And just to clarify, key business skills includes what?
It includes mediation skills, caregiving, interpretation, the stuff that's robot-proof, as well as finding skills, binding skills, and grinding is the technical stuff, but going beyond that to understand the outputs that the computers are delivering for us, and also finding, minding, and binding, which is keeping the team together, keeping yourself together, recognising the importance of your own mental health, as well as that of your colleagues and clients too, for that matter.
Mm. So give the accountants listening a word of hope on how to future-proof the career and really equip themselves for the change that's coming up over the next few years.
Do a test of some sort to identify which key business skills are important to you now, which will be important in the future, and where you need to develop your skills, because they're not yet at the level that you need them to be in order to compete effectively in the future.
Mark Lee, that's been terrific. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks, Rob.
You've been listening to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world-class. For show notes on today's and other episodes, plus some great blogs and resources to help accountants lead, sell, and perform at the highest levels, go to bdacademy.pro. Until next time, have a fantastic day.